Welcome to Life Talks. My name is Ben. I'm the lead pastor at Life Fellowship here in the Charlotte metro area. I'm here with Josh, a producer. Dan is in a country doing ministry.
Nice. Right,
that's what Dan does. Dan travels to countries and does ministry.
Yeah, he doesn't. It's not like he usually gets sick. I feel like every time he's not here, he's somewhere else with a passport.
He is definitely traveling to yes for ministry. Before we get into our topic today, and our topic is temptation. You know, we've done this.
Buckle your seatbelts, everybody.
The reality of the sins, the socially acceptable sins series that we've been doing. I just thought. You know, we've been talking a lot about the bits and pieces of this conversation have lent itself to say, okay, the reality is all of us struggle with these sins.
Yeah.
And behind sin is temptation.
Yeah.
But before I get into that, I want to give everyone a preview of some episodes and series that are coming up.
Oh, exciting.
All right? Because I think we should tease out what's happening.
Yes.
We're going to be doing a I don't know how many episodes this will be, but we're going to be doing a series on fasting. Most people have a very, I guess maybe it just feels confusing what it is. What should I do? Yeah. They've heard the Daniel fast, the Esther fast.
Is it legalistic? Is it not?
Yeah. So there's just, I think there's a lot of growth and opportunity for us to learn about fasting. So, and some of these have come from our listeners. And so I'm just letting you know,
we did get a listener email.
Great, great emails. Feel free to email us at lifetalks@lifecharlotte.com. But yeah, so we're going to do one on fasting. We're going to do one on how a church comes up with its own liturgy. You know, a lot of times we've been in different churches and some churches do certain things certain ways and Sundays feel different. So what is the undercurrent of decision-making that goes into that? We're going to be talking a little bit about that. We're going to talk about whether or not your beautiful, lovely, fluffy cat or dog goes to heaven when it dies.
Oh, I can't
wait. We actually got an email about what happens to your pet when they die, and is there any afterlife? And
we cannot do this one without Dan.
Trust me. I wouldn't even touch this thing without Dan.
Good. Of course. Of course.
Then we're going to do, I'm going to do a series on trauma, triggers, and triumph. Understanding.
Excellent.
Trauma is like the key word today.
Yeah.
And it's thrown around so much, I don't think we really understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And let me just, as a preview, even the scientific world varies on their definition of trauma.
Interesting.
So I want us to understand trauma from both a scientific and a biblical perspective, and then how to overcome trauma. From a biblical perspective. We're also going to be doing a series on parenting adult children because that is a challenge.
Wow, that is a great idea.
So these are all, again, these are ideas that are practical. These are ideas that some are theological, but most of them have been suggested by people who are listeners. So thank you, again, listeners who are suggesting these things. We will get to them. So Josh, temptation.
Yeah. Never happened. I'm a worship leader. What are you talking about?
Oh, well, I've got a Bible verse for you, buddy.
I know.
So I was thinking about this and, you know, when we think about temptation, what is temptation?
Yeah.
I think all of us would try, if we try to define temptation, we'd say, well, it's when you're tempted to do something. Okay. Well,
but you cannot use
the word in the definition.
Yeah.
I think James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15 give the best definition of what temptation is. And this is the way James puts it. He talks in the context, he's saying God can't tempt anyone to sin. Hmm. But he says, each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Being lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. So this idea of being lured and enticed by desires, that is temptation. That's what temptation is. Notice, sin isn't in the definition. Mm-hmm. Sin is what can happen as a result of temptation.
Okay. Oh, that's a great distinction.
So I think we'll talk about that, but just on that, just in that simple verse that we just read, okay, that each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desires. There's two major things I want to point out here. Number one, it says each person. Everyone I think one of the most basic principles we have to understand is everyone is tempted.
Yeah.
I don't care. Worship leader, yeah. lead pastor, yeah. missionary, church member for 50 years, you know, chairman of the deacon board.
Buddhist monk.
It does not matter who you are, how long you've been doing your walk of holiness with God.
Yeah.
Everyone is tempted. And I think that that's right there. James is saying each one is tempted. He's not saying each of you could be tempted. No, all of you are tempted.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I think that's really important that nobody is beyond temptation. I think the second thing he talks about is lured and enticed by his own desire. Now think about that word desire for a second.
Yeah.
That is a loaded term because I believe first and foremost, there are good desires and bad desires.
Yeah.
And I think many times we've got to call desires good that are good and desires bad that are bad. For example, wanting to hurt another person, mm-hmm. that's a bad desire.
Yeah.
Me wanting to take something from someone else, that's a bad desire. Okay?
At least in most cases.
In most cases. But here's an example of a good desire. Me wanting to eat.
Yes.
That's a good desire.
Yes.
Here's another good desire. Me wanting to have sex.
Yeah.
That's a good desire.
Yeah.
Me wanting to provide for my family.
Yeah.
That's a good desire. Now notice, many times when we think about temptation, with the desires, temptation can work against both good and bad desires. Hmm. We have to know that because many times the good desires, all right, so when you have bad desires, you can be tempted to do bad things when you have bad desires. That's I think most of us would say that's pretty easy to understand.
We got that.
But what I think really gets difficult for us and challenging for us is when we have good desires and then we are tempted to fulfill those desires in ways that are outside the bounds of, I guess, the rules and the laws that God has created.
Right.
Okay, so for example, the three examples of good desires I gave, it is good for you to want to eat.
Yeah.
It is bad for you to want to eat everything.
Yes.
That's what we call gluttony.
Yes.
And it's good for you to want to have sex. It's bad for you to want to have sex outside of the covenant of marriage.
Yeah.
It's good for you to want to provide for your family. It's bad for you to want to desire to own and control more than God has called you to. Mm-hmm. So there's these proper ways to fulfill good desires, but temptation can be used even against good desires. And the reason I bring this up is many times it's the good desires that Satan likes to really attack the most because there is something good about them. God's created us to want these things, to want to do these things. And so what Satan loves to do is to take those good desires and corrupt them. Hmm. And so what ends up happening is when we are tempted in a way that a good desire to fulfill them in a wrong way, mm-hmm. we end up looking at the desire sometimes and saying, oh, I hate it that I want this.
Right. We go too far back on the pendulum swing and it's just suddenly everything is all twisted up or at least confused.
Yes. And so what temptation can do is it can actually taint the very good that God has created.
Yeah.
And so that definition of temptation, each man is tempted when he is enticed and lured by his own desire. Mm-hmm. I want to really pinpoint those two ideas of each person and desire and really do your homework on desires. When you're tempted, are you tempted on a good desire that you're wanting to fill in a wrong way? Mm-hmm. Or is it a bad desire?
Right.
Which both are our heart issues, but you need to understand what your desires are.
Yeah.
I think it's really important.
Yeah.
Okay. The second point I wanted to make is that temptation is Satan's main way to get you to do what he wants you to do. Hmm. We see this from the very beginning, from the Garden of Eden. What is the serpent is there and Satan is tempting. He is saying to Adam and Eve, did God really say? And he's getting them to doubt God's love, getting them to doubt God's word. And then he's enticing them to say, the reason why he doesn't want you to do this because he knows that once you eat this, you will be like him. Mm-hmm. So they're enticing this idea to be like, I could have a life bigger and better than what I have right now.
Yeah.
And so this idea of this is what Satan does. He loves to destroy what is good, and know that that is the main way. If we understand that temptation is the way in which Satan works, we have to be aware that every time I am tempted, what is behind this?
Right. Do you think that this is because, you know, I feel like this is almost a cliche, but maybe worth at least quickly addressing, is like the idea that maybe Satan does that because he's so smart and this is a lot more subtle.
Oh, yes.
Like, this is way more subtle I'm
so glad you brought that, because he even says in Ephesians 6 that we need to be alert of the schemes of the devil. That word schemes is like, now think about it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's the idea, is there is a strategy by which they're trying to get you to do something that you don't want to do.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
There's this idea of, maybe not want to do, but he has a way of getting you to do things that you shouldn't do.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And really, as a Christian, we really have we have a new nature in Christ.
Yeah.
So we have good desires now, but then you have that whole issue of that Paul talks about, I do the things I don't want to do, and then I don't do the things I want. And that's what Satan loves to play off of. Mm-hmm. And so notice that Satan is always going to try to attack the very good things in your life. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy the good things in your life, mm-hmm. and even the good desires in your life. Because if he can get you to hate eating food, and get you to hate sex and mm-hmm. your sexuality, mm-hmm. and get you to hate money and finances, and I just hate money. Like, how many times you heard people say that? Or I hate my body, or mm-hmm. I hate food. Like, no, that's not right. God wants you to enjoy those things. And it's really the abuse of those things that gets us to want to hate those good things. And so Satan is a master deceiver. But one of the things I think we need to point out above all is Satan tempted Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just think about that for a moment.
Mm-hmm. This is really important.
Satan knew who Jesus was mm-hmm. more than anyone. Mm-hmm. He knew that Jesus was...
They'd met.
they knew each other, all right? Yeah. And here's the thing that I think is really important. If Satan knows that Jesus is the Son of God,
yeah,
he knows he is the second person of the Trinity, mm-hmm. and he still tried to tempt him.
Yeah.
What does that make you think that Satan thinks about you?
I mean, you're at least more of a sucker than Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
Also might say that he doesn't have that many more tools in the, you know, in the toolbox if he's like, this is the best, you know, if I'm going to take my shot, here's my shot.
Honestly, I mean, I think there's a whole theological argument for that, right? He knew that this was his point. This is his moment to really take over the whole thing.
Yeah.
But from a human perspective looking at it, here's the thing I think we need to understand. If Satan is brash enough and bold enough to try to tempt Jesus, mm-hmm. who he knows he is the second person of the Trinity, don't you think for a minute Satan's like, oh, I can't touch him.
Yeah.
Or I can't touch her.
Yeah. So just to clarify, so like in my mind, I wouldn't ever think like Satan would be brash and thinking that he could tempt me, but I would think that oh, shoot, I lost my train of thought.
Well, I think this is for us to say, don't let your own personal level of righteousness ever get you to the point that thinks I'm beyond this.
Yes, yes, that's where I was going.
That to me is the most important thing, that you don't ever let, if that thought comes in your mind and says, I'm beyond this or I'm beyond this temptation, don't you, I mean, you better cry out to God every day.
This is why the stats on pastors are not great in the areas of at least some temptation, right?
So, so to me, humility about your own righteousness and gratitude for any holiness that you do have is paramount, because over and over and over again, you know, it's one of the most famous verses about pride is pride comes before destruction. And if you look at your own life and think, I am beyond this, I'm beyond temptation. Mm-hmm. Satan didn't think Jesus was beyond temptation. And so if he doesn't think Jesus is beyond temptation, he doesn't think you are. And he will backdoor his you know, a way to tempt you, because he doesn't respect you at all. He doesn't respect anything about you. And so if you're saying, well, I've made good choices for 10 years, he's like, yeah, but guess what? Yeah. I've got a 5-year plan to get you to fall. Like, that's the way he thinks.
Yeah.
So, and again, going back to the temptation of Jesus, another lesson we can learn is he approached Jesus when he was at his emotional and physical weakest.
So that's a great point. So, I never made that connection.
Yeah, so don't think like know that he might just look at you like, okay, he's at church. I'm not going to.
He's waiting. He's waiting
He
for
will
the
wait until you are hungry.
Yeah.
He'll wait until, you know, you've gotten a fight with your spouse. He'll wait until, you know, whatever it is. He will wait until the moment he's like, I think they're weak right here.
Wow.
And so I think those are moments by which we have to be aware.
That's sobering. Like that should be more than awareness. That should be sobering. Like if you combine that with what you said in about 5-year plan, which is more than most of us have in our businesses. And I was going to joke, just 5, like, you know, like he probably is probably more. Like the idea that there would be a plan like that far along just waiting for an opportune moment, if maybe not now is the time. That's sobering.
Yes. I mean, and that's what even Peter writes, be watchful, be sober minded for your adversary. The devil walks about as a roaring lion, seeking those whom he may devour. Now think about that. He is a walking embodiment of saying, I know what it was like, because in my weakest moment at that fire, when I was walking Jesus being tried, I was the most scared I've ever been. Hmm. And that's when I was tempted to deny. And like, he knows that.
Yeah.
He's a walking, and all of us could look back and say, yeah, the moments I made the worst decisions, the moment I gave into temptation and the greatest failures in my life is when I was at the weakest.
Yeah.
And so sober-minded, alert, always. That if we have this picture of the lion seeking to devour, I don't take a day off. You know, so that's really important. The third point, temptation does not equal sin. We talked about that just earlier. But I think that's really important. I think some people feel guilty by the temptation.
Yes.
And it says in Hebrews 4, verse 15, that Jesus was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin.
Yeah.
So what that means is you can have these desires or these thoughts, these, you know, intrusive thoughts where something comes in your mind and it's like, oh, I don't want to think about that,
right.
or I need to reject that. But just because that comes into your mind doesn't mean that means you've sinned.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think some people are so sensitive and they're so self-judgmental, so harsh with themselves that any kind of even temptation, they feel like they need to flog themselves 40 times.
Yeah.
And that's not good.
So I think there's a lot of people who are like our age in church, who are, you know, or even younger, who are kind of dealing with, you know, every generation deals with their kind of church baggage stuff. And so I feel like you're kind of talking to a lot of the people who deal with sexual temptation, because there is something, and I'm not sure exactly what this is, but there's something about that in the church where it's like, that one is the extra. You're not okay to have that temptation. All the other, you can be tempted by the chocolate cake over there. That's fine.
We joke about it.
Right.
Yeah, we can use, we don't judge each other because we're kind of wink, wink. Yeah,
and we're not like that grossed out in like movies when you see someone like totally being a glutton in the same way that you would certain other sins, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think... I bring this up because of my own experience of counseling other guys in this area, that many times that they beat themselves up for even having thoughts of temptation. And it's like, no, you don't let that defeat you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's not the defeat.
that's not the loss. And know that that's part of humanity. Yeah. Jesus was tempted.
Yeah.
In all points tempted like us. That means every temptation that people have felt, Jesus felt that tinged desire to do something.
This is how smart this is. Okay, so like imagine going, the battlefield is before you. I'm imagining like, you know, like a Star Wars Jedi game where you have like this, the arena, and I got to deal with this dude, right?
Yeah.
This boss or whatever. And imagine how clever it is for the person to go up to the big battle and then convince them that it's already over, you can rest now.
Yes.
That's really stinking clever.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's
sobering.
It is.
I have a few questions.
Okay.
So when it says in that verse, by his own desire, you've talked a lot about the devil tempting us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we all would naturally understand that a lot of times the devil is tempting us with our own desires. Right.
He's an expert things. On us. He's yes. he's watched us for
right.
four decades.
Right. Does the devil ever tempt us in areas where, like, we would not have kind of naturally gone that direction on our own?
Oh, I think so.
Talk about that a little bit. That's interesting.
I think they're always, and again, I think when we say devil, I don't think that the hierarchy, like, we all have been assigned certain devils or demons or whatever it might be for temptation.
Right.
I think that they're always going to try to find, where's the hole in the fence?
Yeah.
You might have never stolen anything in your entire life, but all of a sudden there's just that something presents itself in front of you and you're like,
You downloaded that one movie.
Yeah. Like is $2 really that big a deal?
Right.
And so, I think they're always kind of like, you know, kind of poking where are the holes in the system? Where are the holes in the fences that we can get through?
Yeah.
And if you think like, well, I've never stolen anything or I've never been tempted in this issue. I've never lied. I've never, whatever.
Yeah.
They're going to find a way to get to see where there's a soft spot.
He's trying everything.
Yeah. So don't think that like, I'm beyond that.
That's really helpful.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think that temptation always originates from Satan?
No, warfare, whatever. I'm glad you brought that up.
Okay.
I don't think so. Because again, from your own desires, I think if every devil and demon was bound in Hades right now, people would still sin.
Yeah.
Because I think there's something about the flesh that we still want what we want. And that's really important for us in our, I'm going to get into this a little bit next episode, but if you are not honest about your own desires, you're in a bad world of hurt.
Yeah.
So the last thing, and I just, we'll end with this because we got another episode to do, is that temptation is not all powerful. Okay. So 1 Corinthians 10:13 says that God provides a way of escape when we are tempted. That is really important to know, that when we can't say the devil made me do it all the time. We can't always blame shift. We can't just say like, it was inevitable for me to fall into this trap.
Yeah.
If God always provides a way out, what he's saying is he's always given you something that he can give you to say no to that, or at least stop in the process of, I have this fork in the road, and there's a fork in the road by which I could choose the way of God or choose the way of my flesh.
There will always be the other option.
There's always going to be an off ramp. That's the thing. Like, there will always be an off ramp for temptation. So just know that.
Yeah.
That it's not inevitable. It's inevitable for you to be tempted.
Yeah.
It's not inevitable for you to sin.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important.
I mean, it's inevitable that we're going to sin in general, but it's not. But any given sin is not inevitable.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
Exactly.
Well said.
So, all right. That's our initial conversation with temptation. Next time, we will talk about, what do we do when we're tempted? Because obviously, what we want is victory over temptation.
Yeah.
But I think we have to understand the way temptation works before we talk about that. So, anyways, thank you again for listening to this episode of Life Talks. I hope this has been encouragement to you. And maybe you're at a point right now where you need to hear this because you're in the battle of temptation. And just know that you can go to God right now. Read some of these scriptures that we talked about, James 1, 14 through 15, Hebrews 4, verse 15, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Read Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Read these accounts or these verses about temptation so that you can align with Jesus' heart, that you might have the victory over sin in your life today. Thank you again for joining us on Life Talks. We'll talk to you next time.
You've been listening to Life Talks. Be sure to hit the subscribe button so you never miss a new episode. Share this podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to let your friends and family know about Life Talks. We'd love to hear from you as well, so leave a comment and let us know your thoughts on this episode or any other topics we've discussed. Life Talks is a ministry of Life Fellowship in Cornelius, North Carolina. For more information on Life Talks or Life Fellowship, visit lifecharlotte.com, or you can find us on Facebook at Life Fellowship Charlotte.